everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of What's on Your Mind. Corey Lewandowski is going to be here today on the program. Former campaign manager in 2016 for the Trump campaign. Good. Part of the reason that Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. Did a lot of good work for the president, and he now is, of course, advising the president, so we look forward to talking to him a little bit about the Trump campaign. I came away from the weekend, despite polls supposedly that continue to say, I think polls are about as reliable as how many people died from COVID. I think they're both about the same kind of methodology.
Heck, if they can't get election night right and you know, Trump is losing 75 to 20, how are they getting anything else right?
Exactly. I mean, for one, the Trump voter doesn't exactly go around saying they're the Trump voter. I mean, I have a bumper sticker on my car because I don't mind the conversations. You know, and I had a conversation at the lake this weekend with two young ladies. I'd say maybe. I don't think they were 20, but they were going for a walk. And I was waiting for them to come by me so I could pull out into the dirt road and drive. And they noticed the bumper sticker, and the one pointed to the other, or poked her and then pointed to it. And then they both turned up their nose like, ew, oh, you know. It is. So I had the window down. I said, what? Did you see a skunk or what happened there? Not a bumper sticker. And I'm like, well, can we have a conversation
darn
about this?
Triggered one? Snowflake.
I know. One did have red hair, just saying. And it wasn't real. It was dyed. But, you know,
Were either of them named Karen by chance? You should have asked.
I did not ask their names. And, you know, people choose to express themselves with red, green, blue hair, whatever. It's, you know, it's America. I mean, who am I to say whatever? But for some reason, I just have noticed a correlation between the dye used in the hair and the political persuasion. I don't know why that is. Somebody else will have to explain that to me. But I just don't see a lot of, you know, Donald Trump fans with the bumper sticker and then like purple hair. I don't see it. So I don't really know what that all means. Anyway, how did I get on this? What did that topic come?
The girls, the bumper sticker, the reaction.
Yeah, Corey Lewandowski maybe. So, we'll talk a little bit about the polls. I found myself this weekend, and I think it's the Portland thing that has me thinking that there is a silent Trump faction that is incalculable. You can't bake it into the cake. All right? I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Also on the program today, a fellow by the name of Dr. Scott Jensen. We've had him on before. But something is new with him. He's a Minnesota State Senator, a physician. You remember, he was the fellow that came on and told us how the health department was saying, list those as COVID. Here's your death certificates back. You got to list them as COVID. Well, they're not COVID. List them as COVID anyway. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. And it went all the way to the top. And supposedly they cleared everything up in Minnesota. Well, now they're investigating this guy for allegedly spreading misinformation about COVID. What the heck is going on there? And, of course, this comes on the heels of Florida, where there are all kinds of examples of COVID cooking the books with the numbers. So I don't know what's going on there. And I'm trying to talk my daughter Haley to coming on the radio. So far, not having any luck, but she's very excited to be going back to school. So this prompted a conversation to say, well, you know, I know last year wasn't ideal, but I'm just kind of curious what did you like about it? Like, would you ever see yourself doing distance learning for college or, you know, extra credit? Absolutely not. So I said, well, I just want to talk about, you know, distance learning versus being back in the classroom where you learn the best. She said, no, I'm not going on the radio, but she did say this. You ready? Just tell everyone I didn't learn during distance learning at all. Now, I know that conversation hasn't necessarily happened, right? Because we had to quickly roll into how are we going to educate these kids when they're not in the classroom mode. And it all happened rather quick. I get all that. Now we're having a debate. Should kids be back? Should they not? Thankfully, we've kind of answered that question in North Dakota. But I'll guarantee you, if there was a Texas, Florida-like spike, that would change in a nanosecond. So my question is, should we factor in how well the kids learn? during all of that? I hope we do, but I don't ever hear really a discussion about it. I hear sort of it's not ideal and, you know. What did they get out of that? What was their takeaway? Or did we just erase 1 year of education, the better part of a year, from our kids? I would like your take on that. And the other items that I raised this morning. Or anything else, because it is, after all, called What's on Your Mind. We have a little mass debate going on the Facebook page. Lee, if you want to share that on the Flag Facebook page, and Todd, maybe you want to share it as well. A listener note that came in earlier this morning, Todd, related to masks and and whatnot. I did see something very funny from Michigan. Evidently, there's a mandate in Michigan, okay, that you must wear a mask. And I saw somebody sent me a picture of what was on the door at the store. And it said something to the effect of, as you know, Governor blank, blank, blank has mandated masks be worn. You might also know there is exception for anybody that has a health condition that doesn't allow them to wear a mask. If you choose not to wear a mask, we will not ask you why you're wearing a mask because of HIPAA. We don't want to know. We're just going to assume you have a condition. See, never underestimate the ingenuity of the American people to kind of just, you know, say, here's your mandate. They did it in Michigan. So I don't know why. I kind of like that. What else? I was going to tell you about the polls. So here's a theory I have. This has to do with Portland and 53 days. Did you know it's been 53 days? It's been almost 2 months, you guys. I've heard a little bit of the mess in Portland. I've heard about federal troops coming in, but I didn't have any idea. But 53 days of anarchy and violence in Portland.
And finally, just today, the police union rep said he wants to see dialogue between the protesters and the city.
Dialogue?
What?
And they're not protesters. Right. They're criminals.
Exactly.
They're wrecking buildings. They're hurting people. They're graffitiing things up. So Donald Trump says,
you
know what?
Did you forget Davil already? They're protesters.
Yeah, yeah. No, to call them what they are. And what they are is thugs. Remember that got me in trouble? They called me a racist and, you know, darn near stormed the station because I called thugs. And
so as if everybody who's a thug is of any one particular race.
Well, right. With. I'll never forget the call. We might have it in the archive somewhere. You are a racist, Scott Hennon. Okay, well, tell me what I did that leads me to believe that I'm a racist. Leads you to believe I'm a racist. You said the protesters were thugs. No, I said people committing violence at the protests are thugs. And yes. I didn't say black thugs. I didn't say white thugs. I didn't say Hispanic thugs.
Please tell me you're not going to say all thugs matter next.
Thugs have no color, right? I mean, thug is not a racial thing. Thug is an action. It's something you do. It's not complicated. And I say the same about these thugs in Portland. But here's how I tie it in politically, and I want you guys to see what you think here in the audience as well. Okay, if I'm in the Portland suburbs, say, and chances are I'm more liberal than not there, but I'm just going to say kind of the crowd that, yes, they vote, yes, they're patriotic, but they aren't watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC 24/7. They're not living and breathing this stuff, right? They got kids and grandkids, and they're living their lives. And they see a community that they go into for their nightlife or their dining out or bringing friends in, pick them up at the airport, whatever, descend into this ridiculous morass of lawlessness. Who do you think they are going to vote for as a result of that? Let's see, we got a Democratic mayor. They let this happen. The president offers to send in federal troops. They say, no, you're not going to send federal troops in here. All they were doing, by the way, is protecting federal buildings. That's what they should do, isn't it? I don't know why that isn't normal.
Yeah, why can they not do that?
Because the mayor doesn't want them there. I think the mayor's going to
look
bad.
The mayor can say, you know, stay on your own turf and off of ours, but he can't tell the feds to not protect the federal. Wouldn't it be interesting if they would have protected federal territory 4 years ago here?
But my bottom line theory is this. I think this helps Donald Trump. I don't think people in that category sitting in the suburbs of Portland go, yeah, I think I'm going to go for Joe Biden. I want some more of this. Maybe we could have 153 days of this. I really don't. Because the Joe Biden and the others are looking the other way as this happens. They don't condemn it. They don't go in and propose a solution for it. They love it. They think it's anarchy, and the people are going to say, oh, that's Trump's America. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. That's what I'm saying here. Am I right? Am I wrong? Want to talk about this or that? Just tell us what's on your mind, and we'll get to it. 800-228-0550. Call now.
Everybody knows two minds are better than one. Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North have joined forces to provide you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. To find out how, go to ramjacknorth.com. That's ramjacknorth.com.
All right, it's a brand new week. New specials at Petroserve USA. Today in Valley City off exit 292, I-94. At Petroserve USA, beef tips and gravy, scallop potatoes and ham. I have a tater tot hot dish alert, too. So good. West Main Avenue, West Fargo, and also the Harwood location off I-29, just north of Fargo. And Salisbury Steak at I-29 at 12th Avenue North Fargo location. All lunch specials come with two sides and a bun. Don't forget the 4-for-4 special. Four items for $4. Choose your favorite single topping personal or breakfast pizza, two fresh baked cookies, and a 20-ounce fountain popper coffee. 4-for-4 every day. Petroserve USA. Every single day. That's right. I had a Kit Kat. Have you had the birthday cake? Birthday cake Kit Kat yet? It's really good. 79 cents at Petroserve USA. It's where I had mine. And after filling up, stop and see him. Birthday cake Kit Kat.
I have to admit, I didn't even know they made that.
Come on.
I
can't keep up with Milky Ways the other day. I went to have a Milky Way and I went, I'm done. I can't have a Milky Way because there's 15 to choose from. I can't even decide which one to have.
It's like Oreos.
My
Who decided
gosh.
We need 80 flavors of or whatever of Oreos?
Just love the Milky Way the way it is. I don't need to, you know, bite into it and then
or Coke. Yeah. You can get like lemon or lime there or whatever. Coke and whatever. Yeah.
Josh in Tioga, North Dakota. You're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. I heard something on the radio the day. I don't know if it was your station or not, somebody made a good point. You know, you see all these protesters and rioters and stuff like that, and from what I can tell, you know, they're all young. And somebody made a good point, and they said, look, you know, Obama was in for 8 years, and, you know, he ran on change. And he had a lot of, you know, talks with the schools and all that stuff. And, you know, they've been teaching these kids for a long time, you know, to do what they're doing. And so what I would say is, you know, for parents out there, you need to be more involved in what, you know, what your schools are teaching these kids. Because they're teaching them to do this. You know, they're teaching, you know, these kids are more or less just soldiers coming out of these, you know, high schools and universities and so forth. And, most of them have no idea what they're doing.
So we're paying a price for the latchkey kids generation here, you believe?
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you need to be more involved with your kids. You need to go to these, you know, these PTA meetings and all these things and see what they're being taught. One guy got up there the other day, and he said that the school that he goes to, they're told every day for 15 minutes that the kids have to watch CNN. For 15 minutes every morning.
Ugh.
I've heard that before, too, although my daughter told me that She knows enough to be dangerous about fake news. She said the school version of CNN is pretty straight up. They're not, they don't exactly do the stuff they do on the other. I haven't seen it, but.
Yeah, our boy James Mack was dealing with that. He said it's like CNN student news or something.
I would far more appreciate the fact that they take, I don't know, pick your topic. The rioting in Portland, and mm-hmm. have a conversation about it rather than sit him in front of CNN.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think, actually, I don't care whether a kid is liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican. I honestly don't care. I care that the kid can critically think, that the kid can break down and say, well, wait a minute. You know, and that's what I think is missing. I think critical thinking is missing. I'm sorry. I can't under any... No matter, I mean, you could inject a lot of truth serum and drugs and happy pixie dust into me. I can't sit here and look at 8 years of Obama and think of anything in the way of accomplishments. I can't. If I critically break down the Obama administration, what got better in America? You could say the economy got a little better because we had that 08 meltdown. No question. But I don't see where he helped that. He spent a lot of money that, you know, didn't improve the economy. Growth over the entire tenure of his presidency is 1.8%. So I mean, you could give him a little bit of credit that he didn't screw it up too bad and got it back out, but it was the longest post-recession, economic mm-hmm. bleakness in the history of America. I think the best thing about Barack Obama was that he was black.
All I equated to ever was he just had to keep the plane in the air. That's all he did.
Maybe,
he just kept it flying, didn't gain any altitude, didn't really...
And I think it's a delightful fact that a black American was elected president. I really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was the best thing. That was the best thing about Barack Obama. I really do. But as far as historic labels, so I take your point, Josh. Where's the critical thinking? You know what I mean? Where are we actually thinking about this stuff?
Well, I mean, you know, the way I look at it is for if you're going to tear down a statue, or if you're going to defile a statue or whatever you're going to do, if you have anything, you know, I mean, if you know history at all, you know, why in the world would an Abraham Lincoln statue be torn down or be defiled?
You know, who risked his presidency and gave his life to end slavery.
Yeah, they're not taught history. The only thing they're taught to do is exactly what they're doing.
And you know what? I would even say this. I would even say the statues of those that are, you know, known slave owners and maybe didn't battle. I mean, it is so easy now to go back and say, oh my gosh, how could they do that? Well, look, we kill babies every day. We kill babies legally in downtown Fargo, a kindergarten sized class every week. Now, I guarantee you somebody at some point in time is going to go, can you believe they did that? Take down that statue to, Margaret Sanger, please. The Fargo Abortion Clinic, I think we should destroy it with a wrecking ball, empty, of course, goes without saying, because of how much carnage happened in that building, and put a statue for unborn life in its presence. So my point is this, if I'm back there and I don't know anything different, right? Say I wake up one day and I have this vision and I realize slavery is wrong, and I say, I'm going to let them all free. I'm going to go help them get jobs. I'm going to just say, you can stay here as long as you want. We'll feed you, but you don't have to work, everything else. You know what? That person's life ceases to exist as he knows it at that very point. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been a good idea, but my point is it's very easy now to go back and say, they should have had slaves. That's ridiculous. They know that now. We know that now. Come on. This is, again, a lack of critical thinking to think you could just can end it. It's a very good point, Josh, and I appreciate your call.
Remember when schools were supposed to teach you how to think and not what to think?
Where'd that go? Texter says, how about a North Dakota smart drinking game? I don't know what a drinking game is. Can you guys explain this to me?
Oh, like beer pong or whatever.
You're a liar.
Every time a Governor Doug says North Dakota smart, we should all take a shot of North Dakota sweet crude.
Oh, there you go.
I doubt most people will make it through one segment on the radio.
We made it for anytime you hear the word times. Unprecedented times.
Yeah.
Uncertain times. Drink!
Texas exactly. says, why are they tearing down statues of Jesus and Mary? I can't answer that. But again, to get into their head is
Now, according to Candace Owens, they've all gone full Satan. Literally.
Texter says, maybe that funny colored hair comes from these people eating Tide Pods.
Wow.
Right. Good boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
More coming up.
I understand. You still have more than 100 days to this election, but at this point, you're losing.
First of all, I'm not losing because those are fake polls. They were fake in 2016, and now they're even more fake. The polls were much worse in 2016. They interviewed 22% Republican. Well, how do you do 22% Republican? You see what's going on. I have other polls that put me leading, and we have polls where I'm leading. I have a poll where we're leading in every swing state, and I don't believe that you're... first of all, the Fox polls, whoever does your Fox polls, they're among the worst. They got it all wrong in 2016. They've been wrong on every poll I've ever seen.
I must tell you.
No, I'm just telling you. And let me ask you this. So on the economy. So I've always led on the economy by a lot.
I know, which is why I was
Biden
surprised by this
number. Biden can't put two sentences together. They wheel him out. He goes up. He repeats. They ask him questions. They ask him, he reads a teleprompter. And then he goes back into his basement. You tell me the American people want to have that in an age where we're in trouble with other nations that are looking to do numbers on us.
So let me ask you a direct question. No, I'm going to ask you a direct question about Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden senile?
I don't want to say that. I say he's not competent to be president. To be president, you have to be sharp and tough and so many other things. He doesn't even come out of his basement. They think, oh, this is a great campaign. So he goes in. I'll then make a speech. It'll be a great speech. And some young guys start writing, Vice President Biden said this, 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 this. He didn't say it. Joe doesn't know he's alive, okay?
Joe doesn't know he's alive. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. More of that a little later on in the program. That was President Trump with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Very interesting. I was at the lake. No TV. Okay?
Yep.
Can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll just check out Twitter. What does Twitter say about it? I thought I was going to watch the worst interview of ever in the history of presidential politics based on what Twitter was saying about the interview and how horrible Trump was.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Donald Trump went toe-to-toe with Chris Wallace. It was fantastic. We're going to play my favorite line from the thing where he talked about Joe Biden cowering on the floor saying, mommy, mommy, if he did the same interview. That's coming up with Corey Lewandowski next hour, so stay tuned for that. Hey, I'm just taking a look at MyPillow right now, MyPillow.com. Great resource. And I'm wondering what to tell you about right now. Should I tell you about the pet pillows for small, medium, and large dogs? They are incredible. We have them in our house. Love them. We use that for kennels, basically, at the lake because they won't leave them. They're so comfortable. I could also tell you about the mattress toppers. Speaking of lakes, sometimes you got the kind of the shoddy mattress out there. Get a mattress topper. They are fantastic. So easy to put on, and you will sleep so much better you won't want to leave the lake. Just like the dogs and the pet pillows. See? Or, oh my gosh, have they got great colors on these beach blankets and also the beach towels, all made with that Giza Egyptian cotton 100%. They're really durable. All of those right now on special. If you go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Scott, you'll get the best deals from the Radio Listener Specials tab. All right, poll question is out there today for our audience. Do you trust the data you're getting on COVID? Do you trust it? Never seen this before, but our Twitter poll, or is this a Facebook poll? Facebook, 100%. Nope, don't trust it. Do not trust it. To talk more about it is a guest we've had on previously on the program, Minnesota State Senator, physician, Dr. Scott Jensen, back with us on What's on Your Mind. You're becoming very famous, Dr. Jensen. I've seen you everywhere since we last had you on. So you're going to start getting a professional booking service now pretty soon, I think, right?
It has been a wild run, to be sure. But I think that's really testimony to the fact that people do want to have someone helping connect the dots and providing some context, because we've got so much of this grabbing on to the news that is sort of supportive of an individual's argument. And we sort of, it doesn't matter what news we grab onto, whether it's fake or not, we just grab it and we say, see, this is why I'm right. And we have more proclaimed experts than ever before.
You know, this seems to me to be a downside of all of the social media out there, right? I mean, Look, you could make your own mind up and get your own research on about anything you can think of. But I think people go for sort of the confirmation bias of what they already believe. Just see it somewhere, no matter what the source is, and just go for it. I mean, there's a lot of, it's not exactly going to all of it make you sick, like, you know, as a doctor, you'd say, don't eat that or don't drink that or whatever. But it's almost as bad for your brain out there, isn't it?
I agree with you. I think social media has really been something that shows us the essential nature of a two-edged sword. On the one hand, certainly there's information there, and I think it does allow people to put out a message that isn't necessarily going to be filtered through our legacy media sources, and I think that's a good thing. But the bad thing is that we've got these keyboard warriors who have a virtual anonymity, and they're just trolling and looking for a fight or something to get their endorphins in their brain going, and I think it provides some sort of perverse pleasure. And it's unfortunate because there are good uses of social media, but I think it would be hard to argue that there isn't a real downside.
Boy, no kidding. Bring us back to how we first met, when we were aware of, you know, notices that you were getting from the state directing you to list deaths as COVID, and you said, why are you asking me to do that? As I recall, once you were the whistleblower of sorts on that, there was some pretty quick action by the health department, the governor and others, a little embarrassed about it, to fix it. And now I see that you're being investigated for spreading misinformation. They ought to give you a plaque as a state legislature and a doctor willing to step out, and instead they're investigating you. So walk us through what's happened here.
Well, thank you, Scott. Basically, it was April 3rd, the Department of Health. I received on April 3rd a communication from the Department of Health indicating that we could diagnose COVID-19 on a death certificate if we didn't have a test, if we didn't have laboratory confirmation. We didn't even need to necessarily have thought about doing the test while the patient was alive. If we assumed or thought it was probable. But specifically, one of the words that jumped out at me was if it contributed. And on death certificates, there is a specific area where contributing conditions should be listed, but aren't necessarily a part of the sequence of causation of death. In other words, if a person has a heart attack in February, and by April they've developed congestive heart failure, and by June they've got end-stage shortness of breath, big swollen ankles, and it's clear that they're not a candidate for transplant, and they're dying. They may say, you know what, I want to be on hospice. I don't want to have all these tests and all these doctor's appointments. I'd rather, whatever time I have left, I'd like to live it with as much dignity and autonomy as possible. And so they go on hospice, and perhaps they're in hospice for 3 or 4 weeks and continue to trundle downwards, if you will. But then in the last 2 or 3 days, some lab tests are done, or there's perhaps in the hospice program, maybe it's an inpatient program, someone does a PCR test for COVID-19 and find that it's positive, and then a day or two later, the patient passes. The idea that that would be listed as a COVID-19 death on a death certificate is ludicrous. And that's what I basically protested. I said, you know, I'm fine diagnosing COVID-19 on a death certificate if a patient develops an infection and is in reasonably good health and doesn't have any initiating events other than that, and they have a COVID-19 positive test, and they have pneumonia, and they die. Yeah, that's COVID-19. But it just seemed like I was being coached, and I'd never seen this before. And so I did balk, and I actually, 3 or 4 days later on a news program with Chris Berg, it sort of almost in a by-the-by kind of manner came up, and Chris Berg sort of alertly tuned into it and said, hold it, you're telling me that you can actually put COVID-19 without a laboratory confirmation test? And I said, yeah. And it was interesting that over the next month, twice the Department of Health in Minnesota clarified what they thought we should do. And the CDC came out and said, we do need to remind everybody that we want the death certificate and the sequence of causation to be precise and specific, which was in contrast to the April 3rd message. So I did feel like, you know, maybe I did a good thing in terms of saying, hey, you're making this more ambiguous than you want. You're undercutting the public trust. Be very, very careful. Physicians don't need to be coached. We've been doing this for years and years. And yet here I sit an anonymous complaint says that because I went on that news program, I'm guilty of spreading misinformation. That's really the essence of it. Then there was another complaint that said that because I've been willing to compare COVID-19 to the flu, that I've been providing reckless advice. But this is exactly what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Osterholm, Dr. Birx, and many leading authorities in the country have been doing, is you're going to compare COVID-19 to influenza because that's where it's most comparable. You certainly aren't going to compare COVID-19 to Ebola or syphilis or tuberculosis or leprosy. You're going to compare it to something that it's like.
Why would this be going on? What would be the motivation here?
Well, I think that at some level, I'll be very honest, I think they chose the wrong guy because I'm not running for re-election. I happen to be a pit bull. I'm a skeptic. And I think they wanted to muzzle me. I think that they didn't like the contrarian narrative that I am willing to articulate. And I generally try to, if you will, read lots of sources. I try to participate both in the liberal and conservative media. You know, I've been on BBC in Britain. I've been on Tony Robbins. I've been on Dr. Drew. I've been on Fox News. Virtually anybody that asks me to come on their program, whether they're liberal or conservative or in the middle, I try to say yes, because I think as an elected official, that's my job. But I think they were frustrated. And I think there is a legitimate contrarian narrative here that should be addressed. And it should not be simply labeled as conspiracy or noise. There is a legitimate argument regarding lockdowns and school closures and masks. There's even a legitimate argument as to whether physical distancing should be 3 feet or 6 feet. And then there was an article at one time where they said it should be 32 feet if you're near somebody who's exercising. I mean, we are literally sacrificing science at the altar of fear and panic. We're playing whack-a-mole. What can we do today? But I'll tell you what we did do, and we should know that this is wrong, is we did create a pipeline of active COVID-19 disease into long-term care facilities. We told people, we will not let you have visitors now that you're in our facility. You will die alone if this is your time. We've done horrendous things. But on the other side, we have politicians continuing play whack-a-mole and trying to do something because the public at large wants something done, anything done, because they're desperate. And I don't think we need to be desperate.
Also curious what you think is happening nationally. We've had some very interesting things happen in Florida recently. I've got some first-hand information about that, and there's been plenty of reporting out there as well. I agree with your assessment in Minnesota for sure, but there seems to be a need to increase the numbers. What would be behind that? More with Dr. Scott Jensen when we continue. Don't... Don't forget, we have a 24/7 hotline for you at 855-200-1776. You can also email me, Scott H at flagfamily.com. You can text Todd, 701-226-8503, or me, it's 701-367-2054. Again, call 800-228-0550. Back with Dr. Scott Jensen, state senator in Minnesota, physician as well, and been at the center of a, I initially considered it almost a whistleblower-like, but certainly very helpful to say, gosh, you know, you shouldn't be making those suggestions. We're smart. We can figure this out. And telling us what we should be labeling death certificates as, and now getting some, because of all the media attention on him and that effort, getting some, investigation due to some complaints for allegedly spreading misinformation about COVID, as well as the comments that he made regarding CDC guidelines for the completion of death certificates. Go figure. So we were talking a little bit before about sort of in Minnesota, how it's happened, why it's happened. Is there, I mean, I think a lot of people see a conspiracy theory here. They see a need among people who hate the president to make this problem seem worse than it is, to blame him. And that's the reason for it. Florida, for instance, there is a boatload of examples of very bizarre behavior related to COVID. One I knew about through a friend of a friend, family of six, stands in line forever and ever and ever and ever for a test in Florida. After 6 hours, says, can't do this anymore. So they give up. They don't get the test. They go home. They get a call the next day. You're all six positive. And there's been more of that. Now, is that incompetence? Is that some sort of grand conspiracy theory? Is there what's behind all this, do you think?
Well, clearly there's a lot of chaos in regards to identifying COVID-19 on death certificates and determining what is a case, what is a positive new case, things like this. And I think that all this chaos and all the miscommunications have come together to create the perfect environment for conspiracies to be suspected. So I think that the politicians may, if you will, minimize or criticize anybody who has a thought towards conspiracy, but the politicians and the bureaucrats and, frankly, some of the scientists and some of the epidemiologists have helped create this environment. And I think the idea of someone getting a phone call back saying they have a positive test when they'd actually driven away before they got the test done just speaks to this issue even more. And then in Texas, they're talking about, could they call a new case someone who hadn't had a positive test but had been a contact and maybe had a test pending or not? Do we count someone who's had three positive tests as three new cases, or is that, are we counting unique individuals? I think that we have to own some of this, and I think we've done a terrible job when you look at the CDC and some of the departments of health. And so clearly, going forward in the future, we're going to have to do a better job. But for now, people ask me all the time, what's the motivation? And I don't know what other people's motivation is, but I do know that human nature frequently rises to the top of the, if you will, behavior pattern. And as such, this, for some people, is the height of their career. Finally, all the years they've been thinking that this kind of thing could happen, here it is. We've got a novel coronavirus, and they're in the limelight, and everybody is seeking out their advice, and in some situations, practically genuflecting in front of them. And I think in some way, they don't want this pandemic to be minimized. And so they just do the fear-mongering, they ramp it up. And unfortunately, it's working because we've got a very split society where some people feel like this is something that's going to be around for a while. We're going to have to learn to coexist with it. We're going to have to assimilate it. We're going to have to do sustainable measures, but we can't do draconian things that are going to create more problems by shutting down the economy, causing diseases and deaths from desperate, emotional, anxious individuals to become more of a problem than the COVID-19 itself. These are the balancing acts that we need to do.
About a minute left. Question related to best advice. As a physician, as someone that's got a lot of common sense, in addition to the medical background, the science background, what do you recommend to people? I mean, basically, you have an economy shut down because people are fearful. They don't want to go back to restaurants or bars or retail stores or anything else because they're fearful. Do they need to be? What should they do?
Honestly, I think Dr. Scott Atlas out of Stanford came out recently and then recalculated the case fatality rate. And for people under the age of 70, it's 0.04, which is less than half of many flu epidemics. I think that we can take some reassurance from that. I think common sense should be what we commonly use. We should physically distance. We should cover our mouths when we cough or sneeze if we're sick. I think it's reasonable to wear a mask to try to protect other people. I think that if you're wearing an N95 mask, you need to understand that that exhaust valve allows anything you're breathing out to go out completely without any filtration mechanism. I think that not touching your eyes, nose, and mouth is critically important. And if you do, go wash your hands. The portal of entry for this disease is eyes, nose, mouth. I think that if we do those common sense things, then I think we can look at the fact that kids aren't being involved. We need to get kids back in school. We don't need to lock down our economy. And I think that masks can be, if you will, used in some situations. But the idea of mandating masks and ignoring the potential adverse effects of wearing masks for hours on end for many people is a problem in and of itself.
Great advice.